24 minutes past 3 o'clock on a Tuesday, and Barry Chapman, our plumbing boss, is in the house once again. Barry, nice to see you.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, everyone.
A week has gone by. Time just is flying, hey?
I know. It's whizzing by very quickly. One can't imagine that the beginning of the year started so long ago.
Yeah, it's nearly Christmas, and it's not going by so fast for those that unfortunately are battling with water shortages, of which there are many. Apparently, Joburg is in dire straits. A big, large parts of Johannesburg have been without water for 2 weeks already, and there is no explanation and no sign of improvement. eThekwini Metro, or the municipal areas of Durban, have similarly got restrictions in place in many of them, and a huge concern about... It's not so much about the fact that we we're in a drought, because we're not really. Of course, we're always in a drought. This country is a very water-scarce country. But luckily at the coast, water does tend to fall. However, in the catchment areas where it really counts, that's where the problem is. And then our real issue is storage. And the big problem is that a lot of the water that is stored and then reticulated is lost due to, maintenance issues that have created damaged pipes and infrastructure that just leaks, and then people stealing water as well. And it just adds to the woes, I think, of any organization trying to administer services to people that desperately need them. So in light of that kind of scenario, we're blessed in this region in that our water management is really good. It's a sort of private enterprise in the form of Caesar Water. However, 100%. They are totally dependent on Umgeni Water for their supply. And that's where the problem is. So we're not entirely out of the woods.
So that's the thing as well. Our water supplies and everything like that is coming from the same place eThekwini is getting their water from. And come... their failing infrastructure with all their leaks and everything like that, as we mentioned, up to some areas 70% water losses, it's going to drain the system. Hence, they put all the water restrictions and everything in place because of the failing infrastructure to allow some water storage to be sent down this end of the world. But that's Umgeni Water putting their foot down towards the distribution of the water in eThekwini. Reservoir maintenance is also a massive thing, internal reservoir maintenance, and then obviously individual municipal reticulation in each area. Yeah, so I was just listening to an article earlier up in Joburg, Gauteng area. There was a statement that was literally released about half an hour ago by the, I don't know if it's Rand Water or Joburg Sanitation or... that out of their 100 reservoirs that they have, 41 of them are leaking quite severely. And their water loss ratio at the moment is a certified 30%.
Which means it's probably higher. You know, if generally speaking, once they give you a quantified number, it's optimistic. But that's frightening. But staggering.
How do you get... almost 50% of your water storage reservoirs leaking?
Well, you know, exactly, I suppose, the same way that you end up with aging power stations and roads crumbling, etc. It's just preventative maintenance is not our strong suit in this country. We tend to react to damage. Yeah. And then, you know, the reaction is also sometimes quite questionable. But there it is. We can't necessarily change those things. But what we can do as individuals is protect to as much, as large a degree as possible, our own water supply. And I see that you guys are running an ad at the moment. I caught a glimpse of it, where you have a very nice offer in terms of water storage and reticulation that almost takes needs off the grid, can I call it that? It means that you're not going to be entirely non-dependent on available municipal water. But for emergencies and for supplementation, you could be quite nicely set up by simply taking proactive steps right now. And Chapman Plumbing has got the solution.
100%. We can certainly help you with all sorts of water storage, water filtration. One of the big things that people are moving towards now is low flow faucets. Your taps, mixers, shower heads, all those things, low flow. So instead of getting 10 liters a minute out of the thing, you're getting 3 to 4 liters out of a minute. I mean, at the end of the day, you're washing a hand, you're flushing a toilet, doesn't really need to rush in with water. You're also putting in newer toilets. You know, your older toilets are siphon flush with 14 to 16 liters of water in one flush. Your better designed toilets these days are flushing away with 6 liters. And there is possibility to flush with less water, but unfortunately our sewer infrastructure in our country requires a little bit of a larger amount of water to keep things running down the sewers.
It's also important to understand that you know, by taking this kind of proactive step now to reducing your water wastage, your water consumption, you're going to be saving money in the pretty much medium term. That's a guarantee. But also, you can go a little bit further than that, and that you can store water that's falling from the sky. It's a gift.
100%.
And, you know, a gift like that shouldn't be looked in the mouth, so to
speak. No, so, I mean, we were yesterday afternoon, we went to go visit a client. And with a relatively small amount of money and a couple of extra gutters reshaped and things, we harvesting about 40% of the guy's roof and putting it into tanks. So for him, having a garden, being water conscious, you know, he's just put new lawn down. He needs to water that lawn. He's thinking, geez, I don't want to be using drinking potable water to be watering my lawn with. Seems like a hell of a waste. So going down this line of harvesting as much rainwater as possible, putting it into 2 tanks at the back. Basic pre-filtration just to get out any large particles, and then through a pump and onto your grass. Yeah. You can use it quite easily.
And it's much, much healthier for the garden as well. But, you know, it really is. It doesn't contain all of the chemicals that are required for
sterilization,
sterilizing the water. Mm. So for many reasons, but also should the unfortunate event of another water crisis hit us, if you already are pretty much water secure, you can convert that effectively, I want to call it a grey water system, but it's a natural water system, to a potable water system quite simply, isn't that, sir?
Yes, yeah. So by means of a few, so a slightly better pre-filter, just something that gets out to a 300 micron limit. Clean the tank out so it's nice and clean inside, give it a good sterilization. And then out your pump and into some post-filtration, which is basically just sediment filters, a carbon filter for your tastes and your flavors, and then you need to UV sterilize that water. So there's a UV light, which a lot of us in the industry are starting to move away from because they require power. They constantly on, so they're using, and they're 50 watts. You're constantly using electricity even when there's water being used or not. Or what we've started using now is a thing called the quantum sterilizer. It's UV impregnated ceramic beads, and very, very long lifespan, no power. So literally a cartridge that fits in a housing and it plugs an in line.
Brilliant.
And it's taken a lot of the headache out for the clients as well, because there's no extra electricity point for the electrician to come and sort out. There's no checking, is the light working? There's no extra boxes for transformers and all of those horrible things. And then a matter from there, then connecting it onto your main line, that's where the location of everything on your property is so important. Ultimately, you're going to end up with some kind of surface-mounted piping going somewhere because of paving or walls or driveways or something like that. But generally, we get to connect a house up to existing tanks on a property with relatively little interruption to the aesthetics of the property.
So it's all doable. And there's been a lot of talk about, in the recent past, about getting off the electricity grid because of the fact that there was such a shortage of supply, which seems to have ameliorated somewhat, but it's still important, I think, to think in these ways. Possibly even more important now is to start thinking about making sure that your water source is as safe and as independent as possible, just in case. It's all available. Chapman Plumbing is, as you hear from Barry, right up to date with all the technology that you need. Relatively easy to identify where to put your tanks if you need any advice. I remember from our conversation a week ago, Barry's very happy to come out and give you best advice and even give you a quote.
100%, yeah. So like I was talking to my brother, you know, everybody wants a battery for their solar system and their electricity system. Now it's time for us to get a water battery. So we've got water storage for our house to keep going when there's water interruptions.
Exactly what you need. And if you would like to find out more, Chapman Plumbing is available online as close as your nearest device. And if you want to listen to this conversation, again, it'll be up as a podcast so you can share the information with your nearest and dearest and make sure that you remain water wise and water secure. Barry, nice chatting, mate. We'll catch up in a week's time.
Thank you so much. Always enjoy.
The Afternoon Show continues with Bill.